All right, it's all depressing now. Let's get started.
Let's talk about games and bad wrestlers. All right, I guess I'll bring us back. Welcome to One More Podcastle, episode 120. Eric Hunter is here, but Eric Bailey is still on sabbatical. So I'm your host, Jason Lamb, and resident Canadian, and I obviously don't have any clue what I'm doing.
Clearly. How long have we done this? My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I am one of the ones that knows that Sonic's arms are not blue.
That crazy guy. Hey, this is Hugh Johnson. I'm from the Retro League podcast. And about 20 years ago, I did work in a video game store. And luckily, I never encountered a guy who mazed me.
But did you afterwards? I guess that's really the question.
A guy? No.
Okay. Well, just leave it there then, shall we?
So, have you guys been playing any old video games this week?
I have been playing old video games.
All video games I've been playing, Hunter.
Yeah. So for those who may know, we did have Mr. Jonathan Higgins on last episode, and he made a suggestion after the podcast alluding to Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening for the Game Boy Color, because I have the DX version. So I started playing that. And that game is amazing. It's just really good.
Just hands down amazing?
I probably haven't picked up this title in 6 years, 7 years, and I never realized how many Nintendo tropes are in there, because like you got the Yoshi doll, you get the Bow Wow, the Goombas that are in like the side scrolling spots. I remember them, but I guess I was like, wow, there's a lot of like Mario Brothers Nintendo stuff in this game. I love the ability to switch out your weapons, so you don't always have to have your sword and shield in hand. Which obviously doesn't really matter as the years went on, because of the controllers getting a lot more face buttons. But being able to do that Pegasus boots and then the Rocco feather jump, like that's still playing through it. I was just like, oh, this is so satisfying, being able to jump over these giant hurdles. It's just just all about it. It's a really well put together game. The guy who's on the phone who gives you tips, what's his name? Starts with a U. It's like Yolora. I don't know, but like you can actually go inside his house, and it's like he's like super shy, so he doesn't really talk to you, and he's like, oh yeah, you should probably just call me on the phone. So don't want to talk to you right now. And it's just like it's a very charming game. Like all of the characters are fairly well written, and the puzzles are fun, and the game's just all around just the aura and the music. Like, it's really, like, the total package of a Zelda game to me. And, like, I'm happy that they're bringing out Majora's Mask and reinventing it, and that they did the same with Ocarina of Time. But I feel like the handheld games need more of a on-big-screen performance that I just don't think Nintendo's going to give to them.
Fair enough.
And that sucks, man, because, like, Link's Awakening's great, Minish Cap's great, the Season games, Season and Ages are great. Like, and I just don't think they get the time that they deserve for doing so much with the limited hardware that they had.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I mean, you haven't seen them being re-released as much as the other Zelda games. I think the Oracle games just came out on Virtual Console last year, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. And, I mean, those games are fun. But, I mean, like, Link's Awakening kind of being, like, that pinnacle and using and creating that engine that the Oracle games were built on. Like, it's just... I don't know, like, I feel like, Minish Cap for sure, I feel like, just does not get the time it deserves, because, like, that story alone is just so much fun, and it's whimsical, and it's such a complete 180 from a lot of the Zelda games nowadays, where it's, you know, you're helping yourself and saving the princess, and not, like, this tiny, small, little village of Minish people, whatever they were called, whatever the proper... politically correct term is for these the Minish. I guess it is just the Minish.
I think that's just what they were called.
Yeah,
I played all of those games. The funny thing is, I never owned a Game Boy Color, And I bought the Game Boy Advance SP right around when it came out, because I wasn't all that impressed with the original Game Boy Advance. And for the first, like, 2 years I owned the SP, all I played were Game Boy Color games. You know, Link's Awakening DX, Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons. It was probably 2 years before I played an actual Game Boy Advance game on the Game Boy Advance.
Wow. Gotta love that backwards compatibility.
Yeah, there's something great about the Nintendo consoles with their backwards compatibility. Like, even with the Wii U, I've gone back and just started buying up a bunch of Wii games I never played. Just because, like, okay, this is great.
Yeah, because you get to go back into that that category again. And yeah. Just,
oh, I missed all this, or, oh, I want to play this again. Great, I still can.
Yeah.
Nice. How about you, Hughes? What have you been playing?
You know, I've mostly been playing Earthbound. So this was a game I missed out on. I mentioned working in a video game store in the 90s, and Earthbound was one of these games. We got it in quite a bit. It came in this oversized box, so we hated it because there was no place to put it on the shelf. And it always sold out right away. Like, we'd only get one or two copies. It sold out, so I never really got to try it because it was kind of perpetually gone. And I just got around to buying it when it was on the virtual console. So it was... I've actually gotten it for free, come to think of it. It might have been one of the giveaways if you earned gold on the now-defunct Club Nintendo. So I've been playing that for a few weeks, and it's kind of hard, like, if you have a real busy schedule, like you got a job and kids and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's one of these games that requires a lot of grinding. Like, the dungeons aren't very big, but you've got to go in and out of them about 10 times before you can beat them. Like, I'm in, I suppose spoilers on a 20-year-old game are okay. So I'm at this point where you're in this gold mine, and you've got to kill these six giant moles. Like, so the game's all very silly and preposterous. Like, everything about the game is kind of weird. So you're in this cave hunting down these moles, but, you know, everything in there poisons you or drains your hit points. It's just, it's a real grind. So you go in, you kill one mole, then you got to backtrack all the way out, heal, save, go back in, kill another one. So even though it's not a big dungeon, there's just so much back and forth, and every dungeon kind of works that way. And 20 years ago, when I had literally zero responsibility, I probably would have enjoyed the game a lot more than I'm enjoying it right now. Yeah. It's not a bad game. Like, you know, my first impression of it, it was maybe a little bit negative because people love Earthbound so much. I had kind of the same problem with Final Fantasy VII.
Man.
Like, people love this game, and all I've heard for 20 years is Earthbound is, like, the greatest RPG ever made from people. And then I played it, I'm like, you know, it's kind of okay, but it's not the greatest. I mean, not even really, like, top five as Super Nintendo RPGs go.
And, yeah, there's no way it can live up to the hype.
Right, right. And that was, like I said, Final Fantasy VII, I had the exact same first impression. I waited a long time to play that, and when I did, I'm like, really? This is what everybody... This is the greatest game ever? And it's a great game, don't get me wrong. But that's mostly what I've been playing is Earthbound.
Nice.
Yeah, people go crazy about that game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually in the same boat that you are. Like, I just got it on the virtual console, and this is the first time I've ever played it. And I probably put about 3 hours into it. And just the whole time, I'm just like, where is this going? Like, I thought this thing was happening, and now it's not, and now it's something else, and now I got to fight these gangsters, and there's these, just, I think, I don't know, like, I think the game was trying too hard. We're going to lose so many listeners in just this conversation, but I think the game was trying too hard to be weird, odd, and, like, whimsical, that it, like, completely lost me. Like, just the small mechanic of, okay, you're in a battle. Oh, so-and-so happened to show up to the battle. It's like, no. Like, he's not allowed. And I've already killed three of you. Now I got to kill another one? Like, I don't have time for this. Like, I need to get back to home so I can sleep and rejuvenate my health and talk to my dad and save the game, which doesn't make any sense. I don't.
Yeah.
There's just so many things in that game that just goes right over my head for whatever reason.
One of the first parts that really confused me was, like, you're in the first town, and to leave the first town, you have to, like, fight every police officer in the town, which I thought was really weird. It's a little bit like how parts of America work today, but for the most part, usually you aren't walking down the street and the police say, you got to beat all of us up.
Yeah.
With your wiffle bat.
I don't know. It's just maybe if, like you were saying, like, if I played this game when I was a kid, sure. But, man, playing it now, it was way too easy for me just to turn it off and play something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I did kind of fight that urge, because the game does improve as you go along. Like, I'm at a part of the game where I actually find the story kind of interesting now, and I have to kind of schedule my time to play it, because I'm doing it in, like, 30-minute chunks two or three times a week, as opposed to four-hour marathons after school, I guess.
Right.
So, like, I can sit down and say, well, you know what, before I go to the next dungeon, I probably better go grind up three levels. So I'll put on some headphones, listen to a podcast, and grind up three levels, so then when I go to the next dungeon, it's actually kind of enjoyable, because you're powerful enough that you're just walking through all the fights. So that's kind of one of the neat things the game does, is if you're, like, really powerful, it skips the battles. Like, you run into the enemy, and the screen flashes, and it just says you won.
Right, yeah. I don't know. To me, it's one of those games where, like, okay, there's a lot of great things here, but I want to see a developer who's got more experience and a better track record take this idea and make it better.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know if anyone's going to touch the franchise.
No, nobody's going to touch Earthbound. Not now.
Not a chance.
Jason.
Okay, you probably heard the news. The Internet Archive, I think about 2 weeks ago, archived about 2,500 MS-DOS games. And you can play them only in your browser. It's using, like, a embedded DOS box, essentially. So I loaded it up this week, digging through it, and I've talked about this game on the podcast before, and Hughes probably has never heard of this game. I apologize. Cross Country Canada.
Oh, God.
I know.
I heard about it from onemorecastle.com.
All right, perfect. Yeah. All right. So anyone listening doesn't know what that is. It was an edutainment title from 1991. You essentially are a truck driver delivering goods across Canada.
It's like the Canadian Oregon Trail.
Right.
Yeah, kind of. It plays the same way.
Just not as good.
Can you deliver maple syrup in the Oregon Trail?
No, but I get to travel through places that actually exist on planet Earth.
Whoa.
Like, what is this, Quebec?
Quebec.
Who starts a territory with a Q? Like, come on.
It's a province, thank you.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a problem. But, so I loaded it up, and it's one of those games where your memories of it make it just, you remember it being so much better looking and sounding so much better. Because I was playing this in my school's computer lab back in 1990, I guess, 3. But booting it up, like, the sounds, all the sounds it generated, it wasn't coming out like a dedicated sound processor. It was using that tiny little speaker that beeps when the computer boots.
Yeah.
That tells you, oh, good, it's posted properly. So you're starting up, you have to start your truck, and you have to type in start truck, and your truck will start up. And it makes this engine noise, but it doesn't remotely sound like an engine whatsoever. It's like your computer's choking, almost. So I played that for a bit. I can still see kids playing it, to be honest.
Really?
It's very simple. Like, you're literally just, okay, drive north, and you drive north, and you can type in speed, and a cop might pull you over, and you might run out of gas, and you have to call for help, and pay a then-outrageous 80 cents a liter.
80 cents a liter.
80 cents a liter.
Yeah. We don't have metric here, so that could, like, still be a lot or a little. I don't know.
It's
exactly.
It's a ton,
or it could be nothing. It could be absolutely nothing.
It was free. They're actually paying you. That's how it converts.
That's how it's right. Okay.
But so I've been playing. I played a bit of Cross Country Canada in the limited time I had this week. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed with that. They ported DOSBox to JavaScript, I guess. And
yeah.
The source code's all out on GitHub. If anyone wanted to, for whatever reason, host a DOS game on your website.
Yeah, which is crazy. And they've got a web version of MAME's sister program, MESS.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is great. It's a great way to host these old games.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is I can dig out my computer science homework from the 90s and post it on my website, and people can look at these horrible programs I wrote then.
Nice.
Yeah, there's so many of those games that, like you had mentioned about the thinking that the graphics were so great back then, like, I still remember when the Nintendo showcased Wind Waker HD, and they're like, yeah, we've improved all the graphics, and I'm watching the trailers, I was like, didn't it always look like that?
Yeah.
Like, was it not that amazing?
Well, I even bought the game and I was playing through it. I'm like, this isn't that much better than the GameCube version.
Yeah.
This doesn't look any better. And then you go back and watch videos, you're like, wow, they actually...
They did quite a good job. Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of looked like crap on the GameCube in retrospect. Yeah.
Which is just the weirdest thing. Yeah. And it's... Maybe it's just because I'm getting older and my eyes are getting worse, but like, there's games that I used to love back in the day that I just refuse to touch now because of that. Like, GoldenEye 64. Yeah. Like, I cannot play that game anymore.
Nope.
Yeah. The Nintendo 64 is maybe the system that has aged the worst.
Oh, it's aged horribly. Everything from the controls to the graphics.
Just, man. Yeah. It's just like, and like, even like, and I use this, you know, this term loosely, but more modern games like Halo 2. I had played Halo 2 with a friend of mine. I'm like, this game is so slow. Like, I don't even think it's running at 30 frames per second. Like, I can't, like, why isn't it keeping up with my control input? Like, why can't I, you know, do a rocket jump? And
yeah.
Like, it just, it's like, wow, this is so, like, it's ancient now. And it's just weird how things just, like, spin out of control. Like, one idea works in a particular genre, and then everybody does it. And then you just suspect that it's in every single game of that genre, past and future, you know? And it's just, like, what do you mean they can't, you know, no-scope somebody? Like, I always do that. Like, why is that not available? But it's tough, man. It's tough going back. And it's just not in video games. Like, it's in cartoons that are in movies I used to watch. Like, it's tough being in this business for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like if you have kids, you know, you get them to watch a cartoon that you enjoyed as a kid and it's really hit or miss. I mean, sometimes they watch it and they just think it's the worst thing they've seen in their entire life.
Yeah.
And then other things that you never would have expected they would like, they think are great. And it works out with some games too. I mean, my kids occasionally will try the older games and you look at it and you realize, yeah, I guess these were kind of frustrating and difficult, but I had a lot of free time back then, so I could play these like crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of them that do, I'm trying to think of an old game that they really get into. I mean, stuff like Tetris actually holds up pretty well, and Super Mario 2, for example. You can give that to a kid of any age, and they can do pretty well at it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy.
I know, horrible segue.
That's just...
We've got a listener email discussion question. This is from Dustin Faber, who actually guest hosted a few episodes ago. He writes, "Hello all, I really enjoyed episode 117. The guest host was fantastic." It was him.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah. "Here's the big question plaguing everyone's mind, one that you can surely answer. If it came down to it, would you give up video games or the internet if you somehow had to choose only one? A disclaimer. If you gave up the internet, you're still allowed to write and contribute to fine websites like One More Castle. You just have to mail or fax your writing to someone who puts it online for you. If you give up video games, you can still read and write about them, you just wouldn't be able to play any of them. But say goodbye to all social media, news, Netflix, etc. if you give up the internet. Or say goodbye to your NES, Dreamcast, new graphics card, trips to arcade, and passing times with games on your smartphone or 3DS when you're stuck in the waiting room. The choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that, because this is where it's at. Engine number 9?
What?
Anyway, so if you had the choice, would you give up the internet? Mind you, the internet, I guess... He's including Netflix here in social. Oh, no. Netflix included in the internet. So would you give up the internet or would you give up video games?
Now my first question is, does that include, like, for work? Like, I literally can't do my job without internet access.
Like, I'm going to say...
become a lumberjack or something.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, really? That's your first go-to is lumberjack?
Lumberjack.
I'm trying to think of a job that doesn't require internet access nowadays.
I mean, you could deliver mail. I'm just surprised you went the lumberjack, like that was your go-to job,
like
the internet didn't exist.
Well, you know, it seems... Anytime, I've not done a lot of wood chopping in my life, but when I do, I find it very relaxing.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So that's my backup career.
I'm going to say that you could probably still do it for your job. I'm going to say this is a leisure thing only.
Okay. In that case, I'd probably go get rid of internet. Because I think I spent most of my life without social networks, and it seems like I was probably happier before social networks than after.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, that's, I mean, I went so long without the internet, and I still remember, like, wanting it when I was younger. Like, oh, God, everybody's got the internet, but we don't have the internet because we don't have the money for the internet. But no, I still had my games. So I'd be happy to give up the internet if I could still have my video games.
Yeah, because I could buy DVDs. If there's TV shows I like, they're probably on DVD. And the money that I'm not giving to Comcast for internet, I could use to buy box sets of DVDs, and that would take care of the media problem.
Yeah.
Little things that have kind of become a convenience, though, I guess, would be a little challenging. Like, I'm not sure how to buy plane tickets anymore.
Right.
I guess you could visit a travel agent.
Oof.
Or maybe just go straight to the airport, yeah, I guess. Maybe.
No, I think Homeland Security stops you if you try that. If you don't have a boarding pass, yeah, I don't think you can get in. I guess you can get to the ticket counter. I'm trying to think. Yeah, O'Hare, you can get to a ticket counter at least. But they'll probably look at you funny. Like, what do you mean you know, you're here to buy
What do you mean you haven't bought your tickets yet?
Yeah. You want to buy a ticket here? What?
Yeah. Do we even do that anymore? Yeah. I don't really think we can email it to you. Email the ticket to you. Like, no, I need you to print it. Like, on paper.
No, you can't do that either.
The hardest thing for me would be to, like, how to go about not being able to spell a certain word.
Yeah.
Because that, like, drives me insane. Like, if I don't know how to spell a word, like, I'll sit there for an hour trying to figure it out. And it's like...
You could use a dictionary.
Yeah, you get one of those Franklin pocket dictionaries, like what your grandma would get you for Christmas, and you'd throw it out right away.
Essentially.
Well, you had to read the inscription on the inside that she wrote to you first, and then you threw it.
No, I don't mean like a pocket. I mean like those little Franklin ones. You know, they had like a keypad on like an LCD screen.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
One of those.
You know what? I was gonna say I would have given up video games if I kept the internet, but I had completely forgotten that television movies existed.
Not on the internet.
Not on the internet. I forgot that you could still buy DVDs.
Nice.
Which is terrible.
I mean, there'll come a point where stuff isn't released on DVD anymore.
Yeah.
But maybe by then you'll be kind of old and jaded and you won't like new stuff anyways.
Here's the thing, though. Does it become a point where video games are no longer released on disc or cartridge and I have to go on the internet to play these good games?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, even at that point, I think you could still find, like, that guy...
Who will
burn, like, physical discs for you for stuff, you know. Or you could just pick up a PC that's already got, like, 150 games loaded on it, you know, like, just emulation. You just have to keep buying.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I keep thinking, I mean, like, I don't know if I'll ever have that problem because I own so many games I've never played. I keep thinking, like, if there's this ironic punishment in Afterlife, like... My punishment will be I have to finish every game I've ever purchased before I can go on to heaven or whatever.
That doesn't sound that bad, though.
Yeah, but I've got, like, Bible Adventures and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, I got Bible Adventures, too. I don't think I could go through, like, Beetlejuice. Mm. Like, that always... If anybody talks about, like, terrible games, that's always my go-to, is, like, Beetlejuice.
Yeah. See, I can't survive more than 5 minutes in Spelunker, so if, like, my eternal salvation was dependent on my ability to defeat Spelunker... I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that game's pretty bad, too. I would gladly take the challenge if it came down to that.
Damn. I love how the backlog has become a universal thing amongst people who play games. It's just accepted at this point. It's like, yeah, you got games you haven't played. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You guys
We all do.
Have
you seen that site steamleft.com where you punch in your Steam ID? And it tells you how many hours of unplayed Steam games you have.
Yeah, I use that.
Oh, I gotta see this.
I have 4,549 continuous hours to play. That's 189 days, 13 hours, and 3 minutes of gameplay to complete my library.
Okay, mine's not that bad. Mine's only 1,047.
There you go.
But it does say that I can watch the entirety of Star Trek, all TV shows and movies, one time, and that sounds fun. Yeah.
Tell me I could beat... the infamous game Desert Bus 5 times.
Oh, God. Yeah. Desert Bus.
How How does Canadian trucking compare to Desert Bus?
There's not a Canadian trucking, is there?
The one you just talked about. Yeah, the
Across Country Canada.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's far less tedious.
Well, it's far less American, far more Canadian.
Whatever
that means.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It means absolutely
nothing. You know what it does mean, though? It's time for a musical break. City remix from F-Zero by DJ Pretzel. You can find the link to ocremix.org on the podcast page. And a reminder, if you want to send us a listener discussion email, the email is podcast@wilmercastle.com. Now, before we start the Retro Showdown...
Retro Showdown!
I'm proud to announce that the showdown winner from episode 118 was none other than myself. With Duck Hunt, which garnered 10 votes. Jonathan. That's all I needed. Jonathan, even though he cheated with Mario Brothers, he still came in second with 5. And Hunter, of course, came last with Gyromite.
Gyromite. Come on, Jason.
Whatever. Gyro.
Was the topic NES launch titles?
It was
Black Box games that don't include, and this is in quotes, Super Mario Brothers. So that's how he got away with just Mario Brothers.
Because he's a cheating bastard.
We're talking, you won. What's it matter if he cheated now?
Cheating bastard.
All right, well.
All right. So the showdown theme for this week is... great games from dead studios. So studios which are no longer active. And I guess I'll start us off. Let me just get my fancy stopwatch started. Brought to you by onlinestopwatch.com.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. One day, hopefully a sponsor. And away we go. Once the best, nay, the greatest RTS developer of all time. This studio, like many others, was killed in its prime by an evil force known as Electronic Arts, pumping out such great hits as Dune, Red Alert, and Command & Conquer Generals. This week, I'm bringing you Command & Conquer Tiberian Sun, taking control of Kane's forces, or the GDI. This was Westwood Studios' probably best sci-fi RTS game. Came out in 1999, and you should vote for Tiberian Sun.
No.
No? Just no?
Just nah.
Nah. Nah.
Nope.
Nah.
I will not.
You will not?
I will vote for my game.
All right. Would you like to start?
Sure.
You may begin.
Okay. I was actually a little upset to find out that this developer was now defunct, except for the fact that the other games, other than the one that I had brought, I had never heard of and or played. So I guess it really doesn't matter. But that developer is Blitz Games, and the game is Fusion Frenzy for the original Xbox. Fusion Frenzy is a four-player party game including over 45 different mini-games. Now, I actually never owned the full copy of this game, but I actually happened to play the demo that came with Halo. And my friends and I played it many, many a times. Fusion Frenzy for the original Xbox.
Terrible. It's not that bad. All right, Hughes, are you ready for your minute? On the clock.
For a minute. Okay, well, hold on. I gotta look at my clock here.
That's all right. I'll count you down. I'll let you know when you're running out of time.
I have a clock here. I got it. So, I'm going to pick a publisher based near to me, which is ICOM Simulations out of scenic Wheeling, Illinois, who created such great games as Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective.
Oh, that is good.
But that's not my pick. I'm going to pick a much better game, and that is Shadowgate. Oh. So, Shadowgate is a point-and-click adventure where you die constantly. So it's originally a Mac game that was ported to Nintendo Game Boy Color and was just recently re-released on PC and probably a bunch of other stuff too. And the premise is you're a knight who's going into this castle who has to kill a wizard who's doing evil things. And you solve puzzles through, again, a point-and-click interface. And it's extremely difficult. It's one of these games, once you figure out what to do, you can win it in like 11 minutes. Except for the part where it will take you weeks to figure out how to solve it without GameFAQs.com. So I implore you to try Shadowgate without reading any facts, and I bet you will enjoy it thoroughly. The end.
Cool. That was good.
Not a good game.
No, but it's. I've had this beef before, specifically with, I think, was it Bailey who always brings these games? These point-and-click games for a console?
Yeah. He brought Deja Vu one time.
Yes.
Which I think runs the same
engine. It's also an ICOM game, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Jason's not a big fan of using the controller as a mouse.
It kills me.
It's not.
But you can play Shadowgate with a mouse also. And at least on the NES version, they moved around the interface a bit from what was in the Mac version. To where you can get to the menus more easily, and like you can, there's sort of hotkeys. Like if you click on an item, it implies that you've clicked use first. So there's kind of some shortcuts. I don't know if the manual actually explains that, or you just have to
click around,
figure it out through trial and error, like I did.
I always felt like maybe I don't know, maybe because the Deja Vu, it was a little bit. I don't want to say realistic because that's just silly because we're playing video games, but it was a little easier to follow just because I'm dealing with things like, you know, like with guns and not like swords and torches and stuff. But like I feel, especially on the NES version, like they tried to pack so much shit onto the interface. Like there's so much going on. And then the actual screen that you play on is so tiny.
Tiny. Yeah, I mean, they all have relatively small views, I suppose. But, you know, it's not meant to be, like, missed, you know, where it's taking up the full screen and there's 100 things to click on. It's pretty concise. Like, you're in a room, there's four objects you can tell are potentially clickable.
Right.
And you can do funny stuff in Shadowgate. Like, you can click use sword on self, for example, and you get a nice dialogue about you, you know, committing Harry Carey.
Okay.
How many other games let you do that?
Well, I mean, in Deja Vu, you could punch a lady with blue hair in the face. Oh, I remember that.
You can, yeah.
Pretty vividly.
That's your selling point?
Yeah.
Punching a woman with blue hair in the face?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Punching Marge Simpson in the face.
But basically, yeah. She didn't have the yellow skin, though. Wasn't the ending to this, like, you had, like, a fraction of a second opening to, like, click a switch before you fell through the floor or something like that?
Not in the NES version. There's no timed events in the NES version, really.
I was going to say, that would be... infinitely frustrating using a controller.
Oh, it'd be damn near impossible, I would think.
Yeah, the timing aspect only comes in that, like, you're constantly carrying around a torch, and the torches burn out after a certain period of time, so you have to light a new torch, and if you run out of torches, then you die.
Hmm.
It's one of the many thousands of ways you can die.
I was
but
gonna say that.
After you've played the game enough, you end up with so many torches that it's almost impossible to run out.
There are literally thousands of ways to die in this game.
Yeah. And because once you know the ways to get, you know, to advance in the game, like, things that took you 3 hours to figure out, next time you play it, in 2 minutes you're at that same point. So
right.
It also has a safe battery, I guess. I haven't actually tested if the battery mine's any good and still. But you don't really need it, because you can get to where you were in the game pretty quickly once you know what to do.
Well, you know what? I'll give you this. It's better than the mini game collection that Hunter brought.
Now, how is that?
You brought a mini game collection.
Hey, man, Mario Party's a popular franchise.
Mario Party has some personality.
This has got steampunk.
This has fusion.
Fusion.
And frenzy.
Personality.
Yeah. By Blitz Games.
Blitz Games, yeah. How weird of a name is that?
Makers of such great games as Karaoke Revolution Presents American Idol and Bratz Forever Diamonds.
I almost brought Bratz, the game. I really did. But this one I actually played. Like, when the original Xbox first came out, with Halo being a launch title, or damn near close to being a launch title anyway, only game to play. And sometimes you get tired of playing the only game to play. So luckily, on the Halo disc, there was demos. And Fusion Frenzy happened to be one of those demos. And of the 45 mini games, you could play, like, I think it's like 7 or 8 of them were available. But there was only actually 2 games that me and my friends used to play. One of them was kind of like the American Gladiators, like, in the dome spinning ball thing. Trying to knock everybody off the edge. And the other one was, you were going up like this spiral staircase, but there was times where you had to jump and duck. It's a lot more fun than the way I'm describing it. Say that right now.
Yep.
No, I'm not doing this game justice.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned American Gladiators, because that I'm not real familiar with the game, but looking at it here, it strikes me as being very similar to American Gladiators, except it doesn't have, was Nitro? Was that the guy with, no, Malibu, that was the main guy.
Right, yeah.
There might have been a gladiator named Nitro also.
Yeah, there was Glacier was one of them. He was always the guy at the Assault, which was my favorite event, when they were shooting those little tennis balls at you, and you're like...
Shoot the tennis balls at the people, yeah.
I wish that game could have been better. Those games are terrible.
American Gladiator.
But you can get it on Xbox, right?
Yeah.
But it's called Fusion Frenzy. I've never owned any of the Xboxes. I know it seems kind of weird.
Well, you are missing out on Fusion Frenzy, my friend. This
a great
mini game of sorts.
A great Xbox exclusive. A real system seller.
It was. It was Xbox exclusive. Totally worth it.
No, Mom. No, I don't. I don't want that. I want the one with Fusion Frenzy.
Right. Yeah. Did you not have those conversations with your parents?
No. Okay. No, I didn't. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm guessing it must have been a kid, because I'm looking at eBay right now, and it is going for 99 cents.
Yes. Upwards of a dollar. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, and that's, let's say if you're lucky, you get that complete in box for that price.
Damn.
This is complete in box. 99 cents. I had a time left, 1 hour, 58 minutes, 9 seconds, 0 bids.
Ooh, that's... Ooh. Well, maybe he just has, like, a bunch of them, and, you know, it's just... I'll tell you what, that seller, once that game doesn't sell, when nobody buys it, he's going to be happy it didn't. Because when he pops that in and remembers all the fun times he had playing the demo on Halo... Have I said Halo enough? That's where...
You're really honing in on the fact that...
Well, it was a demo on Halo. That's all I got to say. It's a demo on Halo.
Demo to include with Halo.
Yeah, it was. There was a couple of them on there, but that was one of the... There was only, like, one other interactive, is what they called it, an interactive demo, which basically was just a demo, but I don't know. I could have brought a Poor Man's Warcraft 2. That's what I could have brought.
They should have. That would have been better than this.
I still
can't
believe
that... Even a Poor
Man's
Warcraft 2 is something like Warcraft 2.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've never understood the whole Command & Conquer... series, just in general. Like, I played Red Alert a little bit, but I think since I didn't play any of the other ones, like the storyline didn't make any sense. But this is one of those games where it just drives me insane because everything is just so damn small. Like, I have no idea what I'm looking at.
All right. You know what? I'll give you that. But, one, I've played the majority of these games, and I'm going to tell you, the story doesn't make sense.
Oh, okay. So it's not just me, then. Okay.
No. There's so much time travel and so much canon that's just erased in the next game. It's like, yeah, that happened, but then this guy went into the past.
Right.
Or this person went into the future.
So it's like the Terminator franchise?
Yeah, pretty much. Yes, this is the Terminator franchise of RTS games.
Don't say that.
Yes, thank you.
So it means the first two installments are really good, the rest are unwatchable?
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Well, I mean, the first one's okay. The second one was great.
Yeah.
But you can't have the second one without the first one, so. No. I don't know. Just, I don't, Command and Conquer.
Come on.
I don't want to do any of those things. I don't want to command, and I really don't want to conquer.
Stealth tanks, attack cycles, juggernauts, mobile war factories, a mammoth Mark II. That's great. I want to build them all.
Are those words that you're saying?
Laser turrets?
Remember,
laser fences?
Now, I haven't played this version of it, but again, my only experience with Command & Conquer was through Red Alert, and I remember picking the Americans. Because I was like, oh, yeah, the Americans, they're going to be great. And all they have is paratroopers, and you just get shot out while they're falling to the ground. It's like, wow, this is pointless. This game sucks.
Were you deploying them into the base?
Of course. How else am I supposed to? No,
outside the base. Unless you just deploy them rapidly outside of the enemy base.
No, right in the heart, right in the lion's den. That's where I take the fight, America.
Hmm. No. See, so now I almost wish that I picked what was my backup game in case someone picked Shadowgate, and that is Herzog's Y, which to me is the best real-time strategy game ever made.
Wow.
And I don't think any of the Command & Conquer games can compare to this. You got split-screen, robots that change into airplanes and vice versa.
You are killing me here.
You have robots that change into, into airplanes in Command & Conquer.
Not only have you brought a point-and-click game where you don't use a mouse, you've brought an RTS game which demands a mouse.
No, you don't need a mouse at all for it.
Oh, my God. Herzog's Y?
Yes.
Ah, damn. Now I need to play this.
It's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah. We used to have two-player games that would go on for like 4 or 5 hours. We'd have to pause it and then go to school and then come back after school and pick it up again.
This is our generation of our parents' generation of Monopoly. We actually have to stop to take a break.
Take a break?
Yeah.
Damn right. We didn't have save states back then.
No.
Kids.
Yeah. Battery backups or... Hell, man, some games. That was another thing that didn't make any sense to me either. Like, some games didn't have password. And it's like, how does this game not have a password? Then you play something silly like, you know, the Flintstones Adventure, and they're like, oh, it's got a password system. Why does this game have a password system?
Yeah.
Why did Super Mario 3 not have a password system?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That game is long and strong.
I hate RPGs without passwords or saving. It's like, why am I playing this?
I don't know.
What is an RPG that doesn't allow you to save?
This is going to... Okay, you gotta go find yourself... Let me just get the name right. It's for the TurboGrafx-16.
Uh-huh.
It's... Pro Tennis World Court, or it's World Court Tennis. Honestly, it's a tennis RPG. You travel around the world, and you do battle on tennis courts, playing tennis, and your character levels up, and you can buy different rackets, but you can't save.
Mm-hmm.
So you play it for a bit, you're like, am I just leaving the TurboGrafx on overnight? Do I really want to leave this on in the morning? Do I really want to continue to conquer tennis courts? It's a weird game.
I'm going to go look for a speed run.
See how long it takes to beat it?
Yeah.
I don't know. TaskBot did it in 3 minutes, so...
It broke me as a five-year-old. I was like, this is so long.
It's not really a game, though, Jason.
When does it end?
It's not really an RPG.
No.
It's bizarre. Wow.
Yeah, it's an RPG the same way like Casino Kid is an RPG.
Right. Which I think we've also had that discussion on the show here.
I think that had a password.
Yeah, Casino Kid had a password, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I really can't think of a RPG that didn't have any kind of password or...
Yeah.
Because even, like, Phantasy Star on the Sega Master System had a battery backup of sorts.
Not a battery backup. You only had, I think you had, how many save slots did you have now? Well, let's see here. Luckily, I have a copy of it sitting right next to me. 5 save slots.
Yeah.
So that was pretty impressive for the time. Like, even Zelda didn't have that many yet.
And you have to think, I mean, a game like Phantasy Star, or at least I would think anyway. I mean, the things that I know about programming for video games is next to nothing, but I would think the information needed to save, for especially for a game like Phantasy Star, would be much larger than Legend of Zelda.
But, yeah. Yeah, and you could save anywhere, too, like middle of a dungeon.
Yeah.
You could save, and you'd pick up right there.
Want to talk about grinding in a video game? My God, that game is the worst when it comes to grinding. Man.
Yeah. Well, and the dungeons are so darn big. I mean, this is back in the era where I think you were expected to buy graph paper for every game that you owned and make a graph, you know, map of everything you did. Because there's no way to get through those dungeons without maps.
I did that. I missed doing that.
Do you?
Yeah, I miss, like, the metagaming. You know, like, the last time I did something where I was like, shit, I got to write this down, was when I was playing Fez. Because, like, there's a whole language system that you have to decipher. And, like, I was like, oh, man. Like, I took a picture of my notes and everything because I was like, I will never see myself doing this ever again. Having to go, like, above and beyond to play this game so I could really get every nook and cranny of it, that I have to actually sit down and decipher a language. Like, that's... It was a lot of fun. Kind of like Fusion Frenzy. It was a lot of fun.
No.
Mini games! Woo!
Mini games.
Who doesn't like mini games? Jason? Hughes? Maybe?
Like good mini games.
No, I was, again, looking at Fusion Frenzy, I have a hard time with, you know, the what do you call it when two words start with the same letter?
Yeah.
It kind of, I think the games remind me a lot of Muppets Party Cruise for the GameCube.
Yes.
I think it's roughly the same game.
Ouch.
Only this one doesn't have Muppets, which makes it
worse,
inferior to Muppets Party
Cruise. Yeah, I agree with that argument 100%. I am a Muppets fan. Fusion Frenzy.
Even the names of the games are terrible.
Oh, play the mini, no, that's
play,
not true.
Play the minigame. Rubble Alliance.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, keep going.
Blast Man Standing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, Sumo. It's American Gladiators made Sumo. That's the ball game.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you got 6 different players to choose from. Dub is one of them. Samson, Zach, Gina, Naomi, which is Imone backwards, in case you didn't know, and Jet. I mean, these are hardcore, edgy, you know, ain't your type of game, Grandpa game.
This is as edgy as a late 90s boy band is. Is it that kind of edgy?
Hey, man, some of those late 90s boy bands are getting back together making a lot of money. Like, could you imagine if this crew got back together and made a Fusion Frenzy 3 for the Xbox One?
I can't imagine that, yes.
Okay. I would buy an Xbox One if the third of this series came out.
I'm holding you to that.
I would. If this game,
I'm going to hold you to that.
I'd be there opening, what do they call it now? Opening. It's not opening day. That's a sports term.
Launch day.
Launch day. Well, I'll show you how many new games I buy. I don't even know what the terminology is anymore. Launch day.
Fusion Frenzy.
Yes. You're welcome.
But the title kind of sounds like a pop, you know, like a soda drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like new from Mountain Dew, Fusion Frenzy.
Yeah.
I think there like is Mountain a Mountain Dew infused Frenzy. With you know, agave nectar or something.
Oh, no, there's a Mountain Dew Fusion Freeze.
Ah, that must be what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was like, it's Fusion something, but it's not with a Z. It's, is it?
No, it's the NES. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Spelled correctly.
Fusion Frenzy.
Not what Fusion Frenzy is all about.
I should find the original Xbox and pick this up. Yeah?
Yeah. I've actually... I'm sure I can... I'm sure somebody's given me an original Xbox. I could send to you.
I'm good.
To play this game. Oh, well. Then you're missing out, my friend. Push the buttons, man. That's what this game was about. God. Before it was cool.
All right. Just give me your final argument.
Why should
people vote for Fusion Frenzy?
The name says it all, man. Mini games. There's Fusion, a lot of Frenzy. Guy named Dub. What you can play as. I only played the demo on Xbox through the Halo game. I actually do own now the full version of the game. I have yet to turn it on.
It's that good. So.
I just need people to play with. That's all it is. So the next time we all hang out,
next time in
I'm
Cincinnati,
bringing my original Xbox.
We'll play a game.
And we're playing Fusion Frenzy. There's only like two games that I've ever played, though. Okay. So
we'll just play those two.
Yeah.
Because of the demo. There's only so many games.
Look up that Xbox. Hope it still boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably hopefully. Throw your back out trying to lift the Xbox off the ground.
That and the controllers. Controllers were ginormous.
That's a nice arm workout right there.
Way too big.
All right, why should people vote for Shadowgate on the NES of all consoles?
Well, they should vote for Shadowgate on the NES because, really, there aren't a lot of adventure games on the NES, and at least not a lot of these point-and-click adventure games. Japan got a bunch, but here in America, we really got kind of the shaft on that. And this is really, I think, the best one. The atmosphere is really cool. Again, it's this castle filled with evil, and it's got this really like spooky ambient music the whole time. I mean, the soundtrack on Shadowgate is really one of the more famous ones, and there's great remixes of it and all that. And of all the ICOM games, this is the one that someone managed to kickstart and get remade. You don't see Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective getting kickstarted. I think they might have tried and failed. I believe they did try and fail.
Did they?
Now that I...
Yeah, and I think... But weren't they trying to make it into like a card game?
No, I think they were trying to like upscale it to, you know, modern. Like it was a little bit like that Night Trap Kickstarter that also failed.
Yes, yeah. That failed miserably.
Terribly.
I find this copy of Sherlock Holmes funny because it has a price tag from Radio Shack on it for $69.95. I got it for substantially less than that. Like 1% of that.
Nice.
Hopefully. At least.
But yeah, Shadowgate, a lot of fun.
Alright.
I like it more than Deja Vu on the NES even. And you can, you can get killed in a number of very comical ways if you choose. So even after you beat the game,
thousands.
There's hours of replay. Hours of replay where you can say, what happens if I drink this bottle of poison?
What happens if I use sword on self? Oh! A dated joke. Yes.
Nice. Or you can use the torch on yourself. That's a good one.
That's hilarious.
All kinds of great ways to die.
That's what I want in my video games. Tons of ways
Shadowgate.
To die.
Tons of great ways to die.
That's like King's Quest, right? King's Quest is great at dying also.
That's that was part of the fun.
Oh god. Alright. You should vote for Command & Conquer Tiberian Sun. Cause not only is it one of the best RTS games of all time, it's from back in the day when RTS games are good.
Are they not good now?
Not really. There's not many, and the ones that are coming out are... I kickstarted Supreme Commander. It's a spiritual... Planetary Annihilation. I kickstarted. Terrible. It's a Supreme Commander spiritual successor. But Command & Conquer Tiberian Sun. Vote for it. It's great. It's got tanks and lasers. And even some Fusion Frenzy.
Yes. Mini games.
Mini games.
The best part of video games are the mini games.
Damn it, Hunter. All right, Hunter, do you have any shout outs, any self promotion you'd like to do before we sign off?
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter, as always, at Eric Hunter. And for all things me, please check out my site, ericmhunter.net. And I do want to give a shout out to Mr. Tom Hall, who is the N64 connoisseur on her site. He has a side project going that he has revamped podcast, a solo man show called The Hallway. Episode 1 was released late this past week. Really good. Check it out. Thomas-Hall.com.
Cool. Hughes, do you have any self-promotion you'd like to do?
Yeah, I'm actually terrible at self-promoting, but I have a podcast called The Retro League, and you can go out to theretroleague.com. We do a weekly retro gaming show. We talk about mostly about like retro gaming news and headlines of the week. It's hard to believe, but there's tons of retro gaming news every week. So stuff like re-releases, Kickstarters for retro games, weird stories from the internet. We always have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. And then at the end of each episode, we talk about some random game of the week that we enjoyed. We don't make people vote or anything. I mean, I guess they could come to our forums and vote if they were so inclined. But we talk about
so you're saying it's not as cool as what
yeah, it's
do.
A it's a little bit different. Last year we did do a tournament. It was like the best game of 1989 tournament, which was a little bit different. But typically, you know, we just talk about some random game at the end of the show. But most of the show's focused on, again, the re-releases, the news, that kind of stuff. And occasionally we do an interview with, you know, someone in the retro gaming community.
Cool.
Very nice.
People should definitely go check that out. You can find me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And I'm going to give a shout out to... You know what? I'm going to give a shout out to CNCNet, where you can now download a free copy of all the old Command & Conquer games I just found out. So that's probably what I'm going to be doing all weekend.
Nice. You know what, Jason? I will join you.
Google CNCNet. Actually, I linked it, I think, in the podcast discussion thing.
Too late. Too late.
Too late. But yeah, that's our podcast. That's episode 120. I want to thank you again for guesting this week.
Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
It's been great to have you on.
Yeah, lots of fun. Thank you.
I recommend everyone go check out his podcast. They're already, as they've been doing this way longer than we have, they're on episode 269.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That is very impressive.
Yep. Yeah. It's weird because it just sort of becomes a habit. Like, oh yeah, every Sunday we record, and as long as you just keep doing that, it's I guess sort of like going to church, but with retro games, right? You know, like this is just something I do every Sunday.
That sounds fantastic.
All hail Mario.
There you go. Do not question Nintendo logic.
All right. That's episode 120. Remember, we are part of the VG Evo Podcast Network, because I forgot to say that at the beginning of the show. And you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. Good night.